Okay, so good evening, everybody. And I hope you all have had a meaningful and enjoyable last couple of days so far. Camp Simcha is an incredibly fun place at times, but also being in Camp Simcha can sometimes be extremely challenging. And we all know that. Just from the few days that we've had here, we know that sometimes it's physically challenging, it's taxing on our physical bodies. We know for some of us it's emotionally challenging. We have campers who maybe make us think a lot about emotional issues or evoke certain emotions in us. And it's just a lot to digest at one time. Certainly for those who are first-time counselors or first-time staff members, it's a lot to think about. One of the greatest challenges that we have here is how do we properly deal with Shabbos when we are trying to care and give our attention to critically ill children? And this is a very important question, and that's really what we're here to discuss tonight. And we're going to have a shiur first that will just outline the fundamentals of the importance of dealing with the Chol b'Shabbos. And then we're going to get into more specific scenarios and examples that have come up over the last couple of years. Obviously, all of your questions are welcome. All of them are encouraged. And all of them are extremely important because you know your campers best. We don't know your campers as well as you do. You know the specific circumstances that will come up with your campers, and therefore it's important that we discuss it. So if anybody has a question, first of all, don't be shy. Take out your phone, write it down. After we're done with the presentation, I hope that you will present your question because it's important, and sometimes presenting the question out loud in front of others is important for them as well, because they might have similar situations with their campers, and it will be helpful. So don't be shy. This is a learning opportunity for all of us. And we should all take advantage, because I don't know how often we have this opportunity to really discuss this very, very important issue. Let us begin with the most basic and fundamental principle, and that is the Torah says, V'chai b'hem. V'chai b'hem means an overarching principle that applies to all, basically all, halachos in the Torah, and that is a universal idea that we have an obligation to look out for human life. That human life is considered to be the highest priority. Human life is considered to be the most important focus that we all need to have as Jews. And therefore, if it means that I find myself in a situation where my life is going to be compromised by keeping the mitzvah HaTorah, I am supposed to forget, I'm supposed to neglect the mitzvah HaTorah, and I'm supposed to look out for myself. So for example, person finds himself in a situation where there is no kosher food, and you're in a situation where you will not have kosher food for a certain finite period of time, and you will not survive unless you eat the food which is non-kosher. Now today, that's a very unusual circumstance because we have kosher food pretty much wherever we go, wherever we travel. There's always going to be a bag of chips. There's always going to be a soda. There's always going to be something that we can find that's kosher, pretty much. But there could be conceivably a situation where you have a person who is stuck with no kosher food. Obviously, the Torah demands of such a person in that circumstance that they forget about the laws of kashrus and they look out for themselves. V'chai b'hem. And the same applies when it comes to the laws of Shabbos. When it comes to the laws of Shabbos, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Vav, Minayin the pikuach nefesh shedocha es haShabbos. How do we know that when somebody's life is in jeopardy, that we have to make sure that we totally disregard the fact that today is Shabbos, and we do what has to be done to take care of that person's life? How do we know that that's the case? The Gemara gets into a whole lengthy discussion to prove how we know it, but the bottom line of the Gemara is that we will totally put a blind eye on Shabbos, and we will make sure that we put all of our focus on saving this person's life. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion, this is not only when it's a case of a vaday pikuach nefesh. This doesn't only mean if somebody is drowning in the river, and if I don't jump in, they will not be saved. If I don't go out on a boat on Shabbos, they will not be saved. That's a vaday pikuach nefesh. They're certainly going to die. But the Gemara says, even if it's only a safek pikuach nefesh, even if it's a situation where, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. If I don't get involved, maybe everything will work itself out. The person will save themselves. Somebody else will take care of it. Even in such a case, says the Gemara, we don't take chances, and we do whatever needs to be done, either for a vaday pikuach nefesh, or even for a safek pikuach nefesh, even if a person is unsure. Now, the way in which the Shulchan Aruch describes this halacha is something that should be extremely encouraging to all of us. The Shulchan Aruch writes, not only do we assume that we are allowed to, quote-unquote, be mechalal Shabbos to save a life, or to save a potential life that could be lost, Not only are we allowed to, but the Shulchan Aruch says it is actually a mitzvah to violate the laws of Shabbos under those conditions. So, we're going to talk in more detail in a few minutes, but be encouraged by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a camper who requires of you to be Mechal Shabbos, and we have many, many such campers, and I can tell you, as much as you think it's not going to be you, it very well might be you who is going to be expected to do something over Shabbos. We'll talk in a few minutes about the specifics, turning on or off lights, adjusting air conditioners, maybe even having to drive to a hospital on Shabbos. Happens almost every session here. It might be your camper. And when we send a camper, we don't send them alone. We send them with medical personnel, but we send them also with their counselor or with their rotator. Somebody who's close with them goes along. It's something I assume most women in the room probably have never done on Shabbos, but it's something that might require our attention. If you are one of those counselors who is required to do something of that nature, be encouraged by the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says not only are you allowed to do that, not only are you encouraged to do that, but the Shulchan Aruch assumes it is a mitzvah to do so. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch even writes something that is even more extreme, which is, should I be Mechal Shabbos because I thought it was Pikuach Nefesh? Now, all of us sitting in the room here are not medical experts. We're not doctors. We're not nurses. We don't really have so much medical background. And therefore, sometimes we might react to a situation because we think it's dangerous, even though if there would be a doctor there, they would tell us right away, this is a joke. There's nothing to worry about. But I thought that it was a reason to be Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, I jumped on a golf cart, I turn the ignition, I turn it on, I drive to the infirmary, and I drop my camper off. And then it turns out, after I got there, which would never happen here, that the doctors would laugh at us, it just wouldn't happen. But if conceivably a doctor would say, come on, this is ridiculous, why did you come here? This person just has a little splinter in their foot, this doesn't make sense. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if I did it with sincerity, if I did this activity on Shabbos because I thought that I was involved in a life-saving activity, that too is something that I don't require a tshuva for. That too is something that is considered to be a mitzvah because I assume that at the time that I am doing it, I am involved in a life-saving activity. So for example, Reb Moshe Feinstein talks about a situation which comes up all the time. Let's say there happens to be, forget about camp for a minute, we're back all in our homes. You live on a busy street and you see that there is an accident right outside of your house on a Shabbos. You call Hatzalah right away. A Hatzalah member comes to the scene. He lives down the block. He shows up. He starts bandaging everyone up. He takes care of everybody that's sick there, everybody that's hurt. And now, the situation is totally under control. But you know that Hatzalah has already dispatched another 3, 4, 5 members that are coming, that are driving their cars, violating real Malacha D'Araisa on Shabbos to come to the scene that is already taken care of. So I, as the Hatzalah member who already got it under control, do I have a right to radio back to my friends and tell them, by the way, we don't need you anymore. You can just stop your cars wherever you are. You can go home because there's no reason for you to come. Everything's already taken care of. Would that be the appropriate thing to do or not? That is a very involved and complicated question that has many other factors. For example, one of the factors is sometimes Hatzalah members jump red lights, which means they're putting themselves in sakana. Sometimes they drive way over the speed limit to get there as fast as they can, which means they are inevitably in sakana. All those factors being put aside, let's just say it was a perfect scenario where there's no one on the streets, there are no traffic lights, they're not doing anything dangerous. Would I have a right to use my radio to inform them that they do not need to be here? Many argue that you would not be allowed to do that because right now they believe that they are doing the right thing. They believe that they are coming for a life-saving activity, and therefore that is not even called Chilul Shabbos at all. For me to radio back to them might be considered Chilul Shabbos. My point in this being that the Shulchan Aruch clearly says, if I'm doing something that I honestly and sincerely believe is a life-saving activity on Shabbos, as wrong as I might be, either because of my lack of information of any medical knowledge, or because I don't really know what's going on there and I assume that they need my help, we would say in such a case that too is not called Chilul Shabbos at all. In fact, one of the most important Rishonim is the Ramban. Everybody, I assume, heard of the Ramban. The Ramban writes in one of his Sfarim in the Sefer Torah Sa'adam, a very important line, where he tells us, if a person wants to be Machmir on Shabbos, let's say I say, you know, It looks dangerous, and on any other day of the week, I certainly would go to the hospital right away, but come on, it's Shabbos, and we only have an hour left to Shabbos, so let me just wait. Let me just wait. What would the halacha be? Says the Ramban, Hareze chasidus shel shtus. That is the lashon of the Ramban. He says, you are not being a person who is pious. That is not at all the right thing to do. He says that is what we refer to as a chasidus shel shtus. That is a silliness. That is not the right choice to be making. When somebody sees in front of them that there is a situation that is a potential pikuach nefesh, we need to treat that as if it was any other day of the week. And we cannot hesitate. We should not be nervous. We should be encouraged by the fact that this is exactly what the Shulchan Aruch tells us to do. And that is what we are required and obligated to do by the mitzvahs HaTorah. The same would apply, let's say, on Yom Kippur. There are many people who have illnesses who are unable to fast on Yom Kippur. And this is always a challenge. It's always a problem. What do you do when somebody has to eat on Yom Kippur? They're very uncomfortable. And it's an Isser Karis. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur if you don't really have the need to. So this makes people very uncomfortable. One of the great leaders, one of the most preeminent Talmidei Chachamim in the end of the 1800s was the Shem Yishmuel. I don't know if everybody ever heard of him, but the Shem Yishmuel was a great Talmud Chacham. He was the son of the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was the Gadol Ador. And the Shem Yishmuel writes a letter to his son-in-law. His son-in-law was sick one year before Yom Kippur. And his son-in-law was very uncomfortable. The doctors told him that he has to eat. And he was very uncomfortable. How am I going to eat on Yom Kippur? I can't bring myself to do that. So his father-in-law, the Shem Yishmuel, writes him a beautiful letter. And in that letter, he says the following. Hineni la'azhircha, he says, now that it's almost Yom Kippur, I just want to let you know. Lebal titztak harbe bidvar hatzom. Don't try to be righteous. Don't try to be a great tzaddik when it comes to Yom Kippur. And he says, kefi asher yomer lecha ha-doctor kein tishmor la'asos. Whatever it is that the doctor informs you or advises you to do, that is what you need to do. He goes even further to say, chalila lecha la'achmir. You have no right to be machmir. Ki mi shetziva latzem b'yom ha-kippurim. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the same God that instructed everybody else in the world to fast on Yom Kippur is the one that was tziva lishmor lerofe v'shalo latzum. That is the same God that also tells you that when a doctor advises you medically that you must eat on Yom Kippur, you have to listen to that doctor. And therefore he says, don't be uncomfortable about the fact that your Yom Kippur is going to be very different than everybody else's, because this is what the Torah expects of you, this is what the Torah demands of you. And the same Torah that told everybody else in the world to fast on Yom Kippur is telling you that you need to violate Yom Kippur, that you need to observe it, shall we say, in a different way. Because that is what your circumstance calls for. And I think that is extremely relevant for our discussion here. The same God that told us that every other Shabbos in the year we observe in a certain way, and we keep all the Lamates Melachos, and we make Kiddush, and obviously we stay away from electronics, and we do all kinds of things that we normally do in our homes to keep Shabbos, that is the same God that told us that when it comes to this circumstance, when it comes to this kind of environment, we have to observe Shabbos in a very different way. And that's what we need to sensitize ourselves to. That's what we need to get into here. What kind of questions should we be thinking about? So just one final point on that. In the Sefer Torah Sayoledes, which is an entire Sefer, Amir Tzoshem, you should all need it. The Sefer Torah Sayoledes is all about halachos that are relevant to a pregnant woman and a woman who's just about to give birth. And there in the Sefer Torah Sayoledes he writes, what happens when a woman who just gave birth has to eat on Yom Kippur? It happens. Women sometimes have children right before Yom Kippur. They're not able to fast. In such a case, he writes, from the old machzorim in Europe. I don't know where he got it from, but he says, in the old machzorim in Europe from a few hundred years ago, they used to have the following passage. And this is what I just suggest that we think about as we do what we have to do on Shabbos. Think about the following. He writes that there was a tefillah that was composed, and it was printed in all the old machzorim, and that is, Hineni muchan u'mezuman. Before a woman who has to eat on Yom Kippur actually takes the first bite, she should say the following. Hineni muchan u'mezuman l'kayim mitzvah sachila u'shtia b'yom ha-kippur. I am about to fulfill the mitzvah of eating on Yom HaKippur. Now, what mitzvah is that? That mitzvah, this tefillah writes, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed me, V'chai Bahem, Ani Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam told me that we have to observe Yom Kippur, but he also told me something that is more important, and that is that human life is the greatest of priority. Human life is the most important thing that we always need to consider in any discussion, in any conversation. And therefore, there was a tefillah that they used to offer. I am about to observe a very important mitzvah by eating on Yom Kippur. And therefore, b'schus mitzvah zu, in the merit of the mitzvah that I'm about to do of eating on Yom Kippur, tachto mosiv es kol cholei amo Yisrael lerefua shelema, I demand of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you give me a refuah along with all the other cholim in the Jewish community, ve'ezke b'yom ha'kippurim haba, l'kayim shuv v'inisem es nafshoseichem. I hope that next year I'll be able to keep Yom Kippur the way most people do. But unfortunately, I cannot do that this year, and I ask you that in the merit of the way I'm observing Yom Kippur this year, I hope that everybody will be healthy, everybody should be sent whatever it is that they need, and we should all be showered with bracha in our lives. Now, I consider that to be a very powerful tefillah, but I think it's extremely relevant to us as well. If you are going to be in a position where you will need to observe Shabbos very differently this week than you do on any other week when you are home, when you're not in this environment, just think to yourself for 1 minute as you're doing whatever it is that you're doing. First of all, don't be uncomfortable. This is exactly what the Torah demands of us. It's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. But at the same time, use it as an opportunity to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm observing Shabbos this week very differently than I normally do, but I'm doing it because this is what you asked me to do. And in the schus, in the merit of the way that we observe Shabbos here, under these circumstances, which are sometimes very difficult for us to do, we ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should stand as a schus for us. This is not the normal way that Shabbos is observed in our lives, and we hope to never have to observe it this way again. And this is an opportunity for us to offer a tefillah that I think we probably will not often be able to offer at many other junctures of our lives. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the following, Hazariz hareze meshubach. When somebody is confronted with a situation that is a potential pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, and they act upon it immediately, hareze meshubach, you are praised. That is the right way to go. V'hashoel, but somebody who spends time going to ask questions, well, should I be doing this? Should I not be doing that? Hare ze shofech damim. Say that again. V'hashoel, somebody on Shabbos who spends extra time asking the questions about whether or not we should be doing this or we should not be doing this, hare ze shofech damim. You are considered to be a murderer. Now, what does that mean? Nobody died. Well, you're right. Nobody died this time. But unfortunately, somebody could potentially die next time. Sometimes seconds count. Sometimes minutes really matter. And we need to act as quickly as possible. And therefore, writes the Shulchan Aruch, a person who doesn't understand the severity of the situation in front of them and decides that they're going to start thinking about it and asking questions and considering whether or not this is worthy of being Mechal Shabbos, writes the Shulchan Aruch, it's better to err on the side of caution and violate Shabbos and make sure that you save the life. V'hashoel, I'll say it one more time, somebody who asks too many questions instead of acting immediately, hareze shofech damim. So what are the specifics that are relevant for our situation here in Camp Simcha? Obviously, I'm not able to come up with all the scenarios, and I hope some of you will follow up with your own particular circumstances that are relevant, but let's just go through a few. We're working under, obviously, if you look in Hilchos Shabbos and Shulchan Aruch and the Mishneh Berurah, you'll find pages and pages, and we're only boiling it down to 10 or 15 minutes. The way that we're doing that is because the assumption here in our camp is anybody who's here as a camper is either considered to be a chola sheyesh bo sakana, is either considered to be somebody who's in grave danger. What we mean by that is anybody who has a camper who is on active chemo is assumed to be a chola sheyesh bo sakana. I think that's clear. I think that's a non-negotiable issue. Any camper in this campus who is on active chemo is considered to be a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Their lives are fragile. Their immune systems are down. We need to treat them as somebody who is a critically ill patient. And therefore, we need to be mechal Shabbos for anything that they need. So for example, let us just go through a few things. Anything unusual that happens to your camper who is on active chemo is considered to be a critical issue, and therefore the protocol of our camp is you need to immediately pick up a phone. The same way you would on any other day of the week, you need to immediately pick up a phone and get in touch with somebody in the infirmary to let them know what's going on. Now, normally on Shabbos, we don't pick up phones. Here on Shabbos, we absolutely must pick up a phone. Now you say to yourself, well, I'm going to evaluate the situation on my own, and I will determine whether or not this is really as critical a need for me to pick up the phone and call somebody in the infirmary. Come on, it's really not so important, it's not so bad, they just got a little scrape here, a little cut there. It's not really worthy of calling a medical professional. Let me just explain to you why it is important. It's true, maybe when you're dealing with one person, that might be the case. But when you're dealing with a rabbim, when you're dealing with almost 100 kids that we have here, and many of them who are critically ill, there is a protocol that is set in place. And I'll explain to you why it's important. The story that my Rebbe Rav Asher Weiss told me many, many times in explaining why this is true, and I think it's a very important story, has to do with the Israeli security establishment. And it's just one example of thousands of examples. But it's a very good example. So they have a unit in the intelligence in the Israeli army where they have 300 women who sit there all day long looking at screens that are placed in Arab territory. And their job is to report back anything that they see that is unusual activity, they have to report it back to the central command. So there was a religious woman who was there on Shabbos doing her shift and watching the screens. And she sees that there's a truck that crashes into a telephone pole. Telephone pole falls down. The driver of the truck seems to be injured. A Palestinian ambulance comes, takes care of those who are injured. A tow truck comes and moves away the truck that crashed into the pole. Everything's cleaned up after a few hours, and life moves on. She felt, there's no reason to report this to the central command. Why? Because it's a civilian accident. The same way if somebody was riding a bike and bumped into a telephone pole and got hurt and an ambulance came, we wouldn't report it. Why would I report this? This just seems like a civilian accident. A few days later, there was a pigua. There were a number of soldiers who were killed right there at that telephone pole. What was the story? The story was that the Arabs had a suspicion that there was a camera on top of that telephone pole, and they realized we cannot commit a crime. We cannot have a terror attack here if there's a camera there watching us. So they decided to test it out, and they took a truck, and they knocked down the telephone pole, made it look like a civilian accident, got the camera out of the way, and now, 3 days later, they killed a number of Israeli soldiers. What looks like something that is just a routine part of life, and something that is perhaps not critical to my eye at all, once we break from the protocol, we don't know where it will lead. And therefore, the protocol in this camp, which is the absolutely correct protocol, is that when something goes wrong, even if it's something that we, in our assessment, think is not really critical, is not really important, we need to follow the protocol and we need to report it immediately. We cannot wait. You don't run to the infirmary on Shabbos. You don't walk from the other side of camp. You call on the phone the same way you would any other day of the week. And once we break the protocol, because we made an evaluation, we made a determination that maybe it's not as serious as we may have thought, you don't know what that can lead to. Even if this time it didn't lead to something, perhaps in a case where it is extremely critical and very important for us to know about it, that can be something that is very, very dangerous. And therefore, I urge all of you, if anything out of the ordinary happens on Shabbos, even if you don't think that it's critical, we need to report it, we need to know about it, and the infirmary must be called immediately. Any of our campers, obviously, who need medications, even though normally we don't take medications on Shabbos, this goes without saying, all of our campers need to have their medications on Shabbos. For those counselors in the room who have feeding tubes for their campers, which I understand is very few of us in this session, we're very lucky that it's only a few of them, so you're going to have to obviously turn on the feeding tube on Shabbos. If you are one of those counselors, I will talk to you privately afterward. How many in the room have campers who have CPAP machines? Okay, so we'll talk about that after as well, if there's anyone who comes later. I'm glad the counselors who actually have the problems are on here. So we're going to have to talk to them because it is important that they know exactly how to do it. As we mentioned, there are times, there are situations where we do need to do a medical transport on Shabbos. Now, a medical transport can mean two different things. Sometimes it means that we send an ambulance down to your side of camp a golf cart ambulance, and we will transport your camper from their bunkhouse up to the infirmary. That's no big deal. Sometimes a medical transport means a lot more than that. It means that a camper is really not well and needs to be brought to a local hospital or even to CHOP or to Columbia or to Sloan. Sometimes we will have to bring our campers back to their hospital in the city. We will not send the camper alone. We send the camper along with, I believe, a doctor and along with a nurse in the car. Is that correct? I think that's normally what we do. Something like that, either a paramedic and a nurse or a doctor and a nurse. We're going to send always two medical professionals, but we will also send the camper with their counselor. This can be extremely uncomfortable for people, but it's necessary. It's necessary. When this camper is being sent into a hospital, it means they are in critical condition. It means we cannot handle them in camp any longer, and we need to hand them off to a hospital. Part of sending them to a hospital is that they need to be comfortable in a hospital, and part of them being comfortable is that they should not be left alone. They need their counselors there, and you should not be uncomfortable if you are the person who is designated to go along with them. That's what you need to do. Now, what you should bring along with you, how you should behave in a hospital, Rivki Schwartz and the medical personalities in the infirmary have a very nice printout of everything that you can read on the car on the way to the hospital. You can read everything about how exactly you're supposed to go about dealing with a hospital. Maybe most girls in the room have never been to a hospital on Shabbos. You're going to encounter many different things that are challenging. There are electric doors on every floor. There are electric bathrooms, electric toilets. There are many, many obstacles that you're going to have. Moving a bed up and down. All kinds of things that you will encounter. How are you going to say Kiddush? How are you going to eat? How are you going to make Havdalah? How are you going to get home? All of these issues we have printed up in a very beautiful one-sided sheet that you can read. If you need to go, there's no reason to give it out tonight, but should anybody have to go in on Shabbos with a camper, we will give you that information. You can read it on your way, and there is nothing at all to be concerned about. Sometimes as well, we also need to send out blood or urine samples from some of our campers who have a high fever, and we need to look at their blood counts, and we need to understand what's really going on with them. And don't be surprised if somebody is sent off campus because we need to take the blood or urine samples and send them to the hospital, wait to get results, and bring it back. If that happens to be you, which it shouldn't be because we have a designated driver for that, so I don't see why there should be any reason for anyone in the room to be needed for that. But if that should be you, you should understand that we're doing that because this is extremely critical and this is extremely important. I'm upset that Sarah Lang just walked out because this is the part that's relevant to her.
Sarah.
So for those of you who don't know Sarah, I just want to make one point before she leaves, and that is there are a number of girls. Thank you. Just one point before you leave. There are a number of girls. I'm sorry. There are a number of girls in our camp who have very specific diets. Some of them are because they're diabetic, so we know how to deal with that. Other girls in the camp are because they have a very limited appetite, and it's very difficult for them to eat in general because of the chemo, because of the treatments that they're going through. And sometimes they have very restricted foods that they're willing to eat. We all need to understand that when we have campers like that, we need to provide them with the minimal foods that they are able to eat and they are in the mood for, that they have an appetite for. That does not mean that we shouldn't think about it before Shabbos. So you've been with your campers for a couple of days already. You know the basic rhythm. You know that there are certain foods they eat. You know that there are certain foods they don't eat. So technically, is it true that if we have a camper who is on chemo and who is really not feeling well and who says, I have no appetite for anything other than a steak that is not being served in our dining room on Shabbos and we don't have any, technically, can we go to the freezer, take a steak out of the freezer, cook it up on Shabbos and give it to them? Yes, technically we can. Should we do that? No. Why shouldn't we do it? Because we should be a little more proactive in thinking before Shabbos, what is it? Before Shabbos, I mean tonight, Thursday night, not Friday afternoon right before Shabbos. We should think about it this evening and tell Sarah, who runs the kitchen, together with Shandy. So we should tell them what it is that our campers might potentially need. They will prepare it for us. They will prepare everything before Shabbos. They will make the steak if we feel that our camper might potentially need it. And then all we need to do on Shabbos is reheat it. It's not a problem. Again, if something comes up on Shabbos and your camper comes up with a whole new idea of what they want and there's nothing else they're willing to eat, we will make that for them on Shabbos as well, should the circumstances really call for that. But let's try to be proactive and think about what potential foods our campers might need And let's talk to the heads of our kitchen, who do such a great job throughout the week, really taking care of all of our dietary needs. It's a good opportunity to think about how difficult a job they have. I remember last year in Simcha Special when I was here, just looking at it, I think we had 17 different meals every day. 17 different variations of meals every day. Why? None of us know about that, but they know about it, because there are some campers who can't have this kind of spice, and some campers who can't have that kind of spice, and everybody has a variation, and we don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable, so we want everyone's food to look exactly the same, even though the recipes are entirely different. And our kitchen staff works so hard to provide for all of our campers with tremendous dignity and make all of them feel welcome. And it's a lot more of a difficult job than any of you think. But they are always willing to accommodate us because they understand how important it is that our campers eat as much as they possibly can, because it's important that we give them whatever food they have the appetite for. Let's try to be proactive and think before Shabbos what it is that we can do to make that a little bit easier of a decision on Shabbos itself. There are some girls in our camp who have growth hormones and who need injections. I don't know if anyone in the room has campers that need that. I spoke to the medical staff here today. They said it is not unusual that those who are on growth hormones sometimes will skip a day anyway. They only do 6 days a week. They don't need to do 7 days a week. And because of that, many of the campers, especially the religious campers in our camp, will choose to skip Shabbos anyway. If your camper does not want to skip Shabbos, either because they're not religious or because they don't feel comfortable skipping a day, they, you know, their regimen is that they do every day, in such a case, you should not be uncomfortable with that at all. Giving an injection on Shabbos is what we call a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Blood comes out. You don't want the blood to come out. It's only an isur derabanan. It's for a chol sheyesh basakana. There is nothing at all to be concerned about. We should absolutely go ahead and do it. There are a number of campers who, because of their immunotherapy that they're going through, I don't know if everybody knows the difference between chemotherapy and immunotherapy, but there are many differences. They're both very toxic, both very dangerous. But because of some of our campers who are going through immunotherapy, they have a reaction to their skin. And many of our campers need some kind of ointments, lotions, or skin creams on Shabbos. Anybody in the room have some of those, I assume? Yes. Okay, so you need to make sure that you apply whatever needs to be applied on Shabbos as well. Now, normally on Shabbos, we try not to rub things in. That is a malacha on Shabbos. However, you obviously need to do that. I would suggest, if possible, and I think it is possible, just to think about it in advance, if possible, I would suggest that you should take the lotion and smear it on with the back of your hand. Again, I don't think that will affect your camper at all. I don't think it will feel so uncomfortable for them, but that obviously is a shinui, and it lowers the malacha from being a malacha d'araisa to be a malacha d'rabbanan. That is what should be done. On top of that, it is extremely important that all of our campers, because they are undergoing chemo and immunotherapy and everybody has their own regimen, but we all need to be vigilant of the fact that they are more prone to being sunburned because of the condition of their skin due to the medication that they have. We need to make sure on Shabbos as well that they all have sunscreen. Now, there's no malacha involved in that because we have the sunscreen that comes in a spray bottle. If anybody doesn't have it, speak to Rivki. She will make sure that you have that before Shabbos. It's nothing to be worried about, but we all need to make sure that we have that and we provide it for our campers before Shabbos because that is critical for their health. What about something that is not directly related to their medical condition? For example, what would you say is a good example of something that is not directly related to their medical condition? Let me give you an example. My camper likes to go to sleep at night watching a movie on their iPad. My camper is not religious, and they will not go to sleep that night without it. My camper likes to call their parents at night before they go to sleep, but my camper is 4 years old and doesn't know how to call their parents by themselves and needs my help. So, can you argue that this is really a part of the medical intervention that we need for this kid? Probably not. It's not a medication. It's not a real medical intervention, but it's something that my camper feels they really need. How do we deal with that? That is a very important question. Or take, for example, somebody actually made a good suggestion today, and I think it's something for us to consider. Many of our campers, when they go to sleep at night, want the lights on. But we don't want to leave the lights on for the whole bunk. So they want to turn a flashlight on. So somebody said today, which is a very good suggestion, think about that. If that is your camper, go to the head staff. We have plenty of Shabbos lamps on this campus, everywhere. I'll be happy to give mine up. I don't need it. We have plenty of them in every room. if you have one of those campers, just plug it in before Shabbos. Avoid the problem. We have to be proactive in thinking about what we can do to avoid scenarios that will come up. So if you have one of those campers, again, we're dealing with situations here where you have a cholosh yesh basakana, but at the same time, this camper really does not need a medical intervention, but they need something else that they feel is necessary for their well-being. What do we do with that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, kol sheregilin lasas lo b'chol. Whatever we would do for a person during the week is what we do for them on Shabbos. Now, how do you understand that? Really? That means if we would be visiting someone in the hospital and we would turn on the TV for them on Tuesday afternoon, we would turn it on for them on Shabbos as well. Is that really what the Shulchan Aruch means? That is up for a big debate. And the Magid Mishnah, one of the most important commentaries on the Rambam, writes, yes, he says it means, osin lo kol tzarachav. You do whatever it is that is necessary for this person, which means you will do even something that you think is not medically necessary. This is not a medication, it is not a medicine, it is not a cream, it's not an ointment. It is something that my camper is asking me for their own well-being. And you have to ask yourself, what allows me to do that on Shabbos? Why should I be allowed to turn the lights on or off on Shabbos? Why should I be allowed to adjust the air conditioner, which inevitably happens in so many bunks in this camp every Shabbos? Why should I be allowed to do that if this is really not totally connected to the medical well-being of my camper? The answer to that is very simple, because we assume that there's a concept in halacha of yisuva daita. There's a concept in halacha of letting the cholosh yesh basakana have the peace of mind to know that they are totally comfortable and taken care of. Why is that important? Because you never know when somebody is in such a fragile state, you never know what their tipping point will be. You never know if the fact that the air is too high or too low, if the fact that they don't have that phone call before they go to sleep or they don't have the light on before they go to sleep, you never know if that's going to be the breaking point that will make them really emotionally sick. You don't know if that emotion is going to translate into something physical. And therefore, because we're dealing with a chola sheyesh basakana, the assumption is, kol sheregilin lasas labachol. Whatever we would do for them during the week, we should be comfortable doing for them on Shabbos. Now again, try to be proactive in thinking about how we can circumvent some of these potential issues. Turn on the air conditioner before Shabbos. Don't walk into the bunk on Friday night and say, hey, we forgot to leave it on. Leave it on before Shabbos. Now again, if you do walk into a bunk and it is very hot and your campers are uncomfortable, then we need to do what we need to do. And there are non-Jews roaming around the campus. Most of them, I was told, do not speak English. So until you find somebody that speaks English, your camper may be in danger. Now you'll say to me, really, is it such a danger if a camper doesn't have the air conditioner on? I will tell you, 3 years ago I would have said, probably not, just wait a few more minutes. Let me tell you, 3 years ago I was here. The air conditioning went out in the dining room for a very short period of time. We have generators, but for some reason the air conditioner didn't pick up. I don't remember exactly why. I do remember a scene that will never leave my mind, which is Chani Reese, who was a camper here, who unfortunately is no longer here. Chani Reese was in the dining room. It was on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon. Literally, after 5 minutes being in the hot dining room because the air conditioner went out, fell down on the floor and was blue in the face. I saw it with my own eyes. So yes, changing an air conditioner, and we had to rush her to the hospital. It was critical. So you'll say to yourself, why is it important that the air is on, the air is off? Let me wait another 10 minutes until I find a non-Jew who's roaming around. No, don't wait the 10 minutes. Turn on the air conditioner, regulate it. However, do it with a shinui. If you can, do it with a shinui. It means press the buttons with your knuckle. Do something that makes it an unusual way to turn it on, but absolutely turn on that air conditioner. Absolutely do what it is that your camper requires of you to do. I remember a couple of years ago, there was a boy from Canada who was in yeshiva in New York, and he unfortunately had an acute emergency medical situation. He was learning in yeshiva, and they rushed him on Friday afternoon to the hospital. They called his parents from Canada to tell them that their son was in critical condition in the ICU in NYU. And the parents called my father to ask, are we allowed to get on a plane now? It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Shabbos is in a half an hour, are we allowed to get on a plane to go be with our son in the ICU in NYU? And the answer was absolutely. But they were not medical doctors. What right do they have to be mechallel Shabbos? They're not really going to help him. And the answer is, it will obviously calm a 15-year-old boy down if his parents are next to him and helping him and supporting him. Even though they cannot give him medical attention, they cannot really do what needs to be done, but because that will help create an environment of yisuva daita, of calming this person down, that will help allow him to rehabilitate himself and to come back to where he is. And because we're dealing with a critically ill patient, that is what needs to be done. So, if you have a camper who is on active chemo, that certainly would be defined as a chole she'esh basakana. I assume many of the other campers in our camp are also considered to be a chole she'en basakana. Chole she'en basakana means there is no immediate danger to their lives. Maybe some of them are in remission, and we still do consider them to be a category of chole. They still are considered to be sick because they do not function as regular human beings. I don't mean to talk down about them, but they live in constant fear, and rightfully so. They live in constant fear because they never know what's going to be with them. They don't know, am I sick? Am I not sick? They're going for blood tests. They're going to get themselves checked out. They're always concerned of what's going to be, of whether they're healthy or whether their status has changed. A chole she'en basakana is pretty much defined in Shulchan Aruch as somebody who does not function in the normal way that they are supposed to. Now, because that's what we're dealing with, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a chole she'en basakana, amira la'akum is absolutely permissible. You can ask a non-Jew to do anything for a chole she'en basakana. On top of that, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that for a chole she'en basakana, you can do any malacha de'araisa. You can violate any malacha de'araisa al yidei shinui. You can do any malacha de'araisa al yidei shinui. So if you have one of these campers who is a chole she'en bo sakana and they come into the room and the air conditioning is not comfortable for them, you would be allowed to change the setting on the air conditioning al yidei shinui. So you have to think about in advance what is a shinui. You have to come up with your own ways. Sometimes we're going to have campers who need ice packs or hot packs on Shabbos. Comes up all the time. Comes up every day here, so obviously it's going to come up on Shabbos as well. That is something we absolutely should provide for them, but again, that's something we can easily do with a shinui. Instead of cracking it with your hands, hit it with your foot, kick it with your knee, something where you can really activate whatever needs to be done, but that certainly would be a shinui. So again, these are just some general concepts, general cases that I came up with in advance, but I'm curious if anyone here has anything specific that they want to discuss, so you certainly should ask. And I think your questions will help other women in the room as well. Yeah?
If the camper is fully capable of doing the thing on their own life, so you can bring the ice pack to see if it's not something too intense, like the ice
pack
is it better that they do it themselves?
So again, the question is, if a camper could do it on their own, is it better that they do it on their own, or is it better that I do it for them? It's a very good question. What would they do during any other day of the week? Would you do it for them, or would they do it themselves?
I would do it just
there. No, but meaning, would they be uncomfortable in the fact that you're handing it off to them now? No, meaning, would they say, why are you making me doing this? If it's going to make them uncomfortable, the fact that you're asking them to do it instead of you, then certainly you can do it. There's nothing to hesitate about. That's totally fine. Okay, any other questions? Yes?
Is it anything that they ask for? Like, say, if they like watch a movie before they go to sleep, like, the second they say it, you say okay, or you like have to fit them otherwise and then do anything?
So that's a really good question. And I think you're raising a really good issue and an important issue because it needs to be reasonable. It needs to be reasonable. Again, if somebody would tell me, you know, I'm not going to fall asleep until you drive 40 miles down the mountain and come back, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, again, they're asking me to do something, so I should listen to them. And the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol tzaracha," whatever they ask for, I should do. So it has to be within reason. It has to be something that's really going to calm them down, something that's really going to help. We have every right to say, look, our campers know that for us it's Shabbos. Our campers know that we observe Shabbos. We're not trying to make them observe Shabbos, but we have every right to say, look, it is Shabbos. I can distract them. Let's play a game. Let's this. Let's play with friends. Let's go here. Let's go there. If there's no way to calm them down, and there's no way to do that, then obviously we're allowed to turn on the whatever it is that they need, but try to do it with a shinui. Again, it's not so difficult to do that. It's not so difficult to do it. You just have to think a little bit in advance about what kind of scenarios you can come up with and how a shinui couldn't be implemented. Yeah. Question back there? Any other questions? Of course it's okay to do. I mean, look, you have every right to say it's Shabbos for us and we observe a certain level of standard. At the same time, we have some campers who just won't appreciate what that means. So to push it too much and to just, you know, keep them up for an extra hour because of it and they're crying in bed, I wouldn't suggest that that's a good idea. I would say, if you see that it's not going anywhere, and you see that there's no way to calm them down otherwise, and you see that we had a camper 2 years ago, who was a young kid, I think 5 years old, who only would go to sleep at night when they called their parents. She was the cutest little girl. She was amazing. But the problem is, what do we do on Shabbos? And I told them, call her parents. I went one Friday night to call her parents because the counselor was too afraid. I think we need to. It's not healthy for our campers not to get sleep. There's no reason to keep them up for an extra hour crying in bed because of it. I think we need to look out for their emotional well-being, and we need to make sure we provide for it. Yeah?
Or even calling them in for Shabbos, like what the protocol
is. It depends. Again, some of our campers are just not sensitive to it, so it just doesn't register. They just don't appreciate what it means. Yeah?
What happens if, like, during the week, you usually watch TV together? Are you allowed to have them out from the TV? Like, I get enjoyment, and she's expecting, because every day you watch TV with her, and Shabbos, she wants you to watch it with her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
That's a really good question. So when I'm watching the TV, am I allowed to enjoy the movie that I'm watching? That's a really good question. Again, it's definitely not in the spirit of Shabbos. I would hope after she falls asleep, you would, like, leave. And not finish the movie. And I think it's important that we remind ourselves that we, as the religious members of this camp, need to remember that it's Shabbos also. It's a good question. Are we supposed to sit there and just space out? Meaning, and our camper will be annoyed by that?
No.
Oh, the camper won't care. You're just sitting there with them. Again, if you have the ability to do that, obviously it's better. It is Shabbos. But if your camper is uncomfortable about the fact, then every 2 minutes they're going to be nudging you like, oh, did you see this funny joke? Did you see that scene? Did you, you know, they're going to want you to comment on what's going on. I don't think you could just turn away or walk away. I think you need to somehow participate. I would go so far as to say, I remember in Simcha Special, there were some girls who needed to go into the infirmary, and it's very difficult to be in the infirmary all by yourself with no one else there, and they had to stay there an entire Shabbos because they had some kind of infection. I don't remember what was going on. And a number of counselors came and asked me that there are some kind of video games in there or iPads that you could play two people, something. Am I imagining something like that? No, do we have that in the infirmary?
Yeah.
Right? So there were a number of counselors who asked me whether or not they're allowed to play a video game together with their camper on Shabbos. And that was a very difficult question to answer. I remember I asked this to Rav Asher Weiss, and I just wasn't sure what to answer. Like, how can I tell a counselor to go play a video game on Shabbos? It sounds like a little bit extreme. Again, we need to try our best to create a situation where that doesn't happen. Don't allow your camper to be that bored that they're going to ask you to play video games. At the same time, Rav Asher Weiss pointed out to me, what do kids do today? Kids eat, kids sleep, and kids play on their phones and play video games. Like, that's what kids do. So, you know, we need to appreciate the fact that sometimes if you have a kid who's really sick and is going out of their minds, and the only thing that's going to calm them down and make them happy and stop crying is by doing that, that might be what is expected of us, as uncomfortable as we are with allowing for such a behavior on the part of our staff members. Yeah. Questions? Yeah. Maybe just speak up a little more. Again, that's a very delicate balance because we are not a kiruv camp.
Right.
We're not here to convince anybody of how they should be observant or not. So I would think if our camper wants to take a shower or wants to do their own thing, you know, it's not my business. It's just not. That's what I would suggest. I think so. Yeah.
Is the tarim only for the counselor of the camper or anybody who lives in Chevrolet for that camper?
Same.
Same thing.
It's any staff
any
member who's involved.
Staff
yeah. Yeah. Question? Yeah.
And it's always better to the shinoi? Meaning that the shinoi can take an extra, like, 5 and a half.
That's a very good question. It depends for what. You know, if you're driving to the hospital, I would not say you should drive with your legs. Right? Not a good idea. So a shinoi is not always the preferred option. A shinoi, if it's reasonable and it's not really going to delay it too much, it's not a problem. Again, if you're changing the air conditioning and to do it with your knuckle instead of with your finger, I would suggest doing a shinoi. When you're calling the infirmary and doing a shinoi is going to make it take another, you know, you're going to press the wrong numbers or something like that, I would suggest just call the normal way. You have to use a little bit of your own judgment to figure out where it's appropriate, where it's not. Okay, any more questions? Yes, final question?
If the situation warrants for
That is an important question. Every so often we do need to make food on Shabbos for a camper. Either it means we have to make food from the freezer, which is unusual because, as we said, we should try to make sure in advance that we don't do that. But sometimes we need to heat food on Shabbos in a way that we would never do for ourselves. Let's say somebody Shabbos morning wakes up and says the only thing they're craving is chicken soup, and that's the only thing they would eat. Now we would, right? I don't know. But we would never take chicken soup out of a fridge on Shabbos morning and heat it up. We're not allowed to do that. For our camper, obviously, we would be allowed to do that if that's the only thing they're going to eat right now. In that scenario, there is no heter for the counselor to eat along with the camper, unless it will make the camper uncomfortable that they're eating by themselves. But just for us to say, hey, there's some nice hot chicken soup this morning, why not go, you know, enjoy them? I don't know who enjoys chicken soup at 8 o'clock in the morning, but if that would be the situation, we really technically should try not to be involved in whatever it is that the camper is eating at the time. I'm sorry, I don't want to keep anyone too late, but yeah. Yes, so I would suggest that if you have a situation like that where they're both in the same bunk next to each other, I would say, you know, suggest to her, maybe let's go outside. Maybe let's go to a private place. Let's go to the infirmary.
Not in front of everyone.
I just think it breaks down the whole atmosphere of Shabbos here, and it will offend some of the other campers and counselors that are there. I don't see any reason why not to. Again, if you have somebody who's bedridden and can't go anywhere, then that's not a good suggestion. But otherwise, I think we should do our best to be sensitive to the other people in the room. Okay? So I hope that our whole discussion is only going to be a theoretical one. None of this should be relevant. Hopefully, we will have a peaceful, a quiet, a calm Shabbos. But if not, these are just certain guidelines, and we're always available to discuss anything else that comes up. You should always be comfortable, always be understanding that these are priorities in our campus and priorities in our lives as Jews. Okay? I wish all of you a wonderful evening. Thank you.